hear these words. The hand of the Lord was on me and set me in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many. And he asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? I said, Sovereign Lord, you said to me, Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, Our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are
God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You can have a seat.
Alternate histories. Maybe you've seen the TV series The Man in the High Tower. It's a series about what would the world would look like if Hitler and Germany had won World War II instead of losing. For Red Dawn, in the middle of the Cold War, when the Russians invaded Colorado and they were beat back by Patrick's. That's a classic, absolutely. And of course, my favorite alternate history is. What will coach there instead of going to who, as you may know, hasn't won a national championship? Instead of going to Texas A&M and then to Alabama, who won 6 national championships while he was the coach there? Not a pleasant memory, how things might have been. And that's what the prophets do. They say hard things, and they help people to think about what would the world be like? What if we had been faithful? Where would we be? Over and over and over again. If you will be obedient, if you will be true to the heart of God, things can be different. But they refuse to listen. And you know, there's this, I think, while the gospel is good news, and we celebrate God's love and His grace at work in our lives, because like the prophets, it reminds us of what could have been. And it calls us to a different future. To imagine being a different people we find ourselves in. Jesus said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I have longed to get chicks under its wings, but you were unwilling to do it. Jesus imagined all those times to gather his people. And they refused. They rejected his offer. He mourned over those lost opportunities for God's people to express that love in the world. They will be comforted. And yeah, we kind of claim that promise when somebody we love dies, or if our job gets cut out, or if our health goes bad, if our kids get in trouble. Yeah, then we mourn and we won't bow. It's not what Ezekiel is talking about. They're talking about a people who understand the heart of God and who mourn over a story gone astray. The world was not intended to be like it is. And God weeps over this place. Then we weep with him. And so this morning, I ask you to do a hard thing. I ask you, when he sees this world, he celebrates those who mistold. He celebrates those 99. But it's that one that's lost that breaks his heart. It's those who are oppressed, who are cut off, those who do not know the thing. And we don't always enter into the suffering of Christ. Probably not what you came here for this morning. But I think if we are going to be faithful to the story, we have to dare to enter into the suffering of Christ, the mourning of God. We have to be with us and inspires us and empowers us to break our hearts. Otherwise, we're just playing around at this whole following Jesus thing. Otherwise, we're taking the easy road. We're settling for what God can do for us. rather than really being partners with God. Ezekiel lost his wife in chapter 24. She died, and it says that she was the treasure of his life, that he loved her. And God said, don't have a funeral. Don't let people bring you casseroles. Don't do any of those things we do. When we mourn you mourning, you say to them, why aren't you mourning what you have become and what you have allowed? Mourn over the places in your life and in your world where God's heart has been broken. And it breaks his heart that we do that. And so Ezekiel says, here in chapter 37, oh, I'm having trouble imagining. I'm with you. My heart's broken. I warned them and warned them and warned them. He did really bizarre things. God had him lay on his left side for 390 days. Symbolized the years of disobedience. Gave his head and his beard and to chop the hair into pieces to symbolize what was going to happen to them if they didn't become obedient. He had him, he made him where he could not speak for a long period of time among his people. He had him dig a hole in the wall and crawl through it at night to remember. He warned them and warned them and warned them. And they did not mourn. They didn't listen. And they ended up their land. They lost their king. They lost their temple. They lost their community. They had nothing. Our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Now they understand why God's heart was broken. Because he knew where that story ended. They lost their land. That was the first thing God promised to Abraham. I will give you a land. Back there, and Joseph were buried in Babylon among a people who speak a different language, among a people who give them no respect, among a people whose culture is totally different from theirs. We live with people who have no home, who have no place, who understand what God says. One of their sins is they refuse to welcome the foreigner, the stranger among them. They refuse to make a home for those who had no home. Our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. They lost their king, greater than the nations around them. And maybe they understood their own condition, that if we don't have a king, every man will do what he wants to do. When they did not have a king or a ruler, every person just did what they wanted to do. But they thought with a king, things would be different. But it wasn't. They still did what they wanted to do. The king was going to be there, put up for those who were weak, who made a place in their nation for those who were strangers, in peace. And instead, he was a man of violence and greed. And he broke the heart of God. Surely there was a place somewhere for justice. In these, we incarcerate more people times the average number, and we call that justice. 35% of the people who are incarcerated are black. 1 out of 17 white men will spend some time in prison in their life. 1 out of 3% of the world's wealth that was generated last year went to 1% of the population, saw no gain in their financial place. In the United States, the top 10% owned 70% of the wealth. The bottom 70% of the wealth in our country. We look for someone to establish justice and righteousness, and our hope is gone. We are cut off. They lost their temple. Boy, that gave them hope and meaning and purpose. That's where God met them. That's the place where heaven and earth met. That is the place where they went to find forgiveness and to express thanksgiving. And now it's 1,000 miles. It's just an acre of land. Not a stone. No place to go to remind them that God is among them. That's us. We are the temple. do we remind our world of? What do we? Do we break the heart of God when we are apathetic or indifferent to those around us? What if history, when we had opportunities to be different? We talked a little bit last week about slavery and race. Who you were welcome and you were invited. No matter what your race was, you had an equal place at the table. Speak into the identity of who we are. What if we had always welcomed women into leadership? Not just to have positions, but to have power. How different would the church be? What would it nurture and life? I remember first became part of the news, and people were beginning to respond. And there was the opportunity for the church to be the church, to take risk. You know, in those early days, people didn't understand, and there was a lot of, what if we had dared to care for those people? Instead of condemning them, instead of being a people who judged and stepped back, what if we had stepped into that moment? What if at the end of World War II, when we dropped two atomic bombs on Japan, nothing to do at the time, but how could you debate whether it is right or wrong to support a bomb that kills 250,000 civilians in a moment? What if the church had had the courage and had refused to cooperate with the powers that be to pursue a path of violence and intimidation, peace, no matter what it cost us. In a day where there's a refugee situation world, what if the church dared to be true to God's call? If we remembered that we were foreigners, that we were strangers, that we were, what if we dared to be the people of God? Name again. Think about the ways we are manipulating life with genetic engineering and cloning and how you can manipulate DNA and create the kind of life that you want. What if the church, that's not what life is, what life is, that we don't reject those who are imperfect, who have challenges. If we refuse to measure people by whether they look the way we want them to, or they're able to produce or be effective, what if we were the ones who said, every life is valuable. Every life has meaning. What God feels about the world. What if we dared to mourn a little bit that things are not how he intended? Our bones are dried up. And our hope is gone. We are cut off. Martin Luther King had a speech, urgency of the now, that there are moments in human history that have to be seized. That those moments are like the tide that floods and then ebbs. And once it's gone, it is too late. And that there are whole periods of human civilization late. Because they waited too long, too late, and those words had been written over them. And so we won't just take a ludicrous, a few moments this morning and dare to mourn moments that we've missed, that we might feel a little bit of what God feels when he sees the way things are. And so let's. read from verses 1 through 3. When God says, can these bones live? And Ezekiel says, I'm not sure. You alone know. And we read from verse 11. Bones are dried up. Our hope is gone. We are cut off. But in between those two passages, then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. The Lord says, come breath, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood upon their feet, a vast army. And he goes on to say in verse 12, he says, this is what the sovereign Lord says, my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you, and you will. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord.